Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I love this. It was packed with calls. We love being part of the conversation with you. We will do that. So some news on the Jets front, Bart, that we should discuss here.
Mm-hmm.
Field Yates, I think, was one. Connor Hughes actually was also reporting this as well. But Field Yates had this a couple hours ago. So the Jets reworked Carl Lawson's contract. Something you mentioned. Either they would
cut him, so they had a conversation to rework it.
Right. So now, so he was originally due a non-guaranteed $15 million, but now he's due a base value of nine. Eight of it's guaranteed.
Yep.
And there's three more million available in incentives, which is basically
sacks and playing time.
Playing time.
Which they can manipulate that because they just drafted a first-round draft pick. So, yeah, he's getting a little close.
He's getting close to his incentives.
We're going to put you in a rotation.
Now, Connor Hughes said that the Jets were able to free up salary cap. Field Yates said there was $12.7 million that now has been freed up for 2023. That's a significant number.
So now the Jets are estimated $19 million underneath the cap.
Okay.
Quinnen.
Getting closer.
Get some cheese on your taco. Yep. Still working on A-Ron? No.
And still working on his deal, because they want to have to see how they can.
They're going to get him a 20-year deal with 18 voidable years.
And obviously, there's still Corey Davis to figure out.
Yeah, yeah. That's $15 million you can say right there, Shannon.
But here, this is why I find the NFL salary cap so compelling. Is that it's not really a cap. There's so many ways. So Connor Hughes says that this is how the Jets were able to open up that much, almost $13 million in cap space. By reworking this deal. They added four voidable years on the deal. That's how they did it.
It's all proration. It's all about the length of contract.
Exactly. So that happens. You figure it's a matter of time, and a lot of this is made. These moves are made to get Quinnen done. Yes?
And this is exactly why Quinnen scrubbing his account and being like that shows it, that it's real corny, but also that it's like beneath him. For him to have this brand of being such a classy guy, knowing that it's just a negotiation, he taking it personal that they're negotiating, but it's going to get done. That it's not even rush hour time yet. It's not even close. It's not OTAs.
Yeah.
It's not mandatory OTAs. It's not training camp.
Right.
Bro, these deals in languages is a negotiation that takes months. And the first negotiation that had to get done was, how do we get Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, starts there.
Doesn't mean that we don't value you, but you should know better than most because you've the one that has been hurt more by not having a good quarterback behind center. So we got to get that right because we already got you. We'll address you later, but we got to get this guy first.
Right.
And then we'll come to you.
Mm-hmm. And then yet he has to do what he does, yeah, which is getting his feelings and emotions about on social media. Defensive tackle four, ..
Watch C.J. Mosley. It's time for – they have to get C.J. Mosley an extension, right, because his cap hit, he's actually the highest paid on the team. His cap hit is $21 million. So it's $7 million of space there. Watch them move with maybe a $7 million into a signing bonus for C.J. Mosley and adding three more years to his deal or two more years to his deal.
Right.
Which puts him at – I think C.J., he might be 30 right now. Which puts him there. Yo, damn, CJ's only, well, he's 32. So he's 31. So I would add two more years to his deal and sign him up to 34 and get some space and keep him for the next 2 years, really, but add those voidable years on the back. That's some more money right there. So that allows you to be able to go out when this free agency period comes. I'm telling y'all, the secondary free agent market.
You said this
is
the
coming.
Second wave, right? When guys who get cut.
Yeah, June 2nd. People are scheduled for June 2nd, and there's still a lot of, you know, I saw, you know, Ndamukong Suh sitting there in NFL Network and working, and I'm sure he's good. But when somebody say, hey, here's $5 million, he's going to be like, you know what?
And he
hangs with Warren Buffett. So, like, he's been doing good stuff with his money for years. What's an extra $5 million to come here and just hold double teams for a couple of times for a team that could possibly win the Super Bowl?
But that's what makes the Jets an interesting story in that, you know, they are a team that has some sizzle now because of Aaron Rodgers, right? Yep. And so the ability to get a player like that, Aaron Rodgers is the magnet.
Yeah.
And you said this, that just like happened in Tampa, guys will go there for a little less on a a short term.
A lot of guys made their
just
big
to
money.
See if they can get a ring.
A lot of these guys have got their big time money.
Right.
So whether you're Jadeveon Clowney, whether you're Yannick Ngakoue, who's just a sack master, like whether you're Ndamukong Suh, who won a championship, you know, you would say, okay, this is an opportunity to win something.
And what is Robert Saleh love to have on defense?
Defensive lineman.
Depth.
Yeah.
He rotation. Likes to rotate
he
guys.
Still,
in.
He still needs some fat guys. Right, so if you're give me 30 plays for $5 million.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, all I got to play is 30 plays.
Right.
And I'm getting $5 million.
Right. You could be one of these guys that knows I don't have enough to be an everyday.
Like Jason
every
Taylor. When we signed Jason Taylor.
You've told that story.
We were good.
Yeah.
He wasn't a starter. It was Calvin Pace and Brian Thomas.
Yeah. So I can come in every now and then and I could just get a couple of plays in.
Jack
and still
my
mom
do.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I hate?
What?
I hate when you sign these type of guys, right?
Uh-huh.
So you sign these type of guys like Jason Taylor, or you sign these guys like Ndamukong Suh, and you're playing 80 snaps.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They coming in, they playing 20. They running like they hair on fire, and the coach calls you out because you ain't running to the ball as fast as they are. Hey, bro, this dude been over there sipping Gatorade and eating freaking power bars for the last 2 minutes. Well, I'm in here in 2 minute drill. I'm on play 12. He come in one play, and he go catch somebody on the other side of the field. Congratulations.
Bart, why can't you hustle like JT, man?
He's cool. JT's 36 years old. He's out running all you young dudes. He's on play two.
It's right.
This came off the punt team, and in 2 minutes, shut up. Hey, Jason, man, you quit trying to show me up, too, by the way.
You want him to bring it, but don't bring it down much.
Hey, bro, stop. They be all love. It'd be like, because you do, like, the two-minute drill in practice, and they ain't really practice all practice, and they coming in like, let's go, fellas, let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, man, if you don't shut your ass up, Jason, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Those guys are the best. They come in all fired up and stuff.
Oh, like, but the worst. They come in and they jump offside on third down. You like this mother, and then they go back to first down. He ain't on the first down package. Hey man, when I get over there, I'm punch you in the face, right in the face.
We got to do this again.
You and me. You and me.
Let's take Jason in another call from Pennsylvania. What's up, Jason?
Oh, speaking of Jason Taylor from Pittsburgh.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing?
What up, baby?
I'm good. I'm a Brooklyn transplant in Pennsylvania, right. So I'm a lifelong Jets fan since 82. So I'm terminal at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's about my time also. I got a Richard Todd jersey on Christmas, and that's how I became a Jets. I really wasn't a fan of football. I was too young.
So we bought your fandom.
But for some reason, I got a Richard Todd number 14 Jets jersey on Christmas. I'll never forget it. And I'm like, I guess I'm a Jets fan. And then the Mud Bowl happened. And you know,
I was such a Richard Todd fan. I even have him as a Saints. I had a Saints jersey.
Wow, all in on Richard Todd. Okay,
yeah, I know. But in terms of money moving around, I think I think Quinton's going to get done regardless, and I think they'll find the money for it. I think this could be opening up money for another offensive weapon, maybe a Davante Adams. I don't know.
What?
Oh, because Devontae said that the other day.
Did you see what Devontae said?
But it wasn't nothing crazy.
You don't think it was a little odd that he would say this?
I think you're better off if you're saying you may have the right position, wrong player. Maybe DeAndre Hopkins.
Maybe a Mike Evans.
No, DeAndre. Mike Evans or DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, he lied. Before they had Aaron Rodgers. That's before.
No, Davante Adams is the pipe dream. I get it. I admit he's expensive, but I would love to see them go after him and see what it would cost.
Who, DeAndre Hopkins?
I think an offensive weapon.
Listen,
Hopkins. He said that he doesn't want to come here.
That was before Aaron Rodgers was really signed. That's why Odell Beckham didn't come, because he was like, man, y'all saying he coming, but it's more money over here.
For another weapon.
It could be Mike Evans, too. Like, I'm with you with that. It could be Mike Evans as well.
Wow.
Could be a Bronco. Yeah. Could be Judy or Sutton.
Yes.
I think a weapon is on its way. Like you said, secondary free agency, I think, is going to be big for us.
Yeah, and we're about to –
Tell you what, Jason, we'll remember this call.
We're going to let Corey Davis go, too. That's going to save us $11 million.
Yeah. Let's see what happens. Now, again, for those wondering, Davante Adams, this is from The Ringer, is that – he said something very easy. He said, a quarterback doesn't make me. I make me. You can erase all the numbers. You can just write in, he didn't need Aaron Rodgers. That's a
And that's true. And that, and listen, that was
That's why his All-Pro without Aaron Rodgers meant the world
so
to
much
him.
To him. Yeah, because people are like, oh well, look at what Aaron Rodgers did. He made Jordy Nelson a perennial All-Star. He like, I'm better than all of them. And right. I don't need a
that's
quarterback
some,
to do
that's
it.
Some shade at Derek Carr. I did it with this bum.
Nah, that's his best career.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, now you got how many bums I got to do it with? Now you're gonna give me this dude, Jimmy G.
800-919-3776 Before we get back to the call, I do want to, I just on the Yankees. Now again, it was a. It happens. All right, a walk off. I get it. Gerrit Cole still played. He still pitched really well, and it happens. So I'm not gonna get too crazy about a loss for the Yankees when your starter at least plays well. It ends up being a walk off. Whatever. But can we just talk about one thing that happened in the game that caught my attention enough for me to just smile? And I told you, this is why I'm so at peace right now with the Yankee season.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're 25-20. I know they're not, like, running away with it. I know they're still chasing a lot. They got injuries. They got concerns. I get it. But I'm enjoying this. I really am. But here's the thing I saw yesterday that made me kind of laugh. So Judge gets a single. Okay? He gets on base. You know how every time you get a hit, you look to your dugout and you point, you do all that stuff? Did you see what he did?
No, I heard what he did.
What did he do?
I think he
he closed his eyes.
Yeah, like he couldn't see.
Like he couldn't see. And then he covered his eyes and pointed to the. Come on, man. Like this is like I said. See, it's like it's enough petty for me to enjoy knowing that Judge is still a classy guy, upstanding. But he hears all that stuff they're saying, and he's just like.
The next time I'm up, I'd hit him right in his cheekbone, right in his ass hit. That would have been funny, right? That would have been a funny
if
thing,
they
right?
Plunked him after that. Yeah.
If they changed,
see this coming?
If they changed pitchers, put the dude to throw the knuckleball out there, it's just, and it's like a tap on the ass.
But don't you like? There's something about that I like.
It is.
Come
it
on,
is.
You, Bart. Even you, as much as you want to hate on the Yankees,
I love the Yankees. Listen,
don't you love
listen,
the petty?
Everybody out there, because this is misleading. I love the Yankees. I just like the Mets better. That's all it is.
Whatever.
I just like the underdog better, which is weird because Allen roots for the evil empire, but then he roots for the Jets, who's always like
the little brother.
Charlie Brown.
I told you, nothing I do makes sense.
Yeah. But
my choice.
But this
is,
narrative that I hate, I just think that you should put more respect on Pete Alonso, the true home run hitter.
First of all, Pete Alonso is a friend of the show. We've had him on several times,
and he so loves he's a friend. Us. And he said he said he was the best power hitter in baseball.
And he said he also. What was the other thing he said that he didn't have to?
He's always available.
Yeah, that's what he said. Always available. That little dig. Yeah. That's a little petty too. I like
exactly.
But the Judge thing of him closing his eyes, covering his eyes, pointing to the dugout, that's like, funny. No, I can't look. I can't look. Like, come on, man.
That's
like
what, this. I love when you have fun in baseball. You know what I mean? Because it's, take it too serious. We got all these unwritten rules.
We do.
And you can't flip your bat. You can't do this. Like, didn't Pete flip his bat a little bit when he got was a little extra flip?
No, he did go crazy. But this is the part I love the most about Alonso after the game.
Hey, thanks for coming out, guys. Let's go Mets.
That's relief.
I mean, that, is that so New York?
That's relief.
These kids are going home after that game, right?
Like, hey, Dad, let's go. Like, what the hell did you say? Pete said it. He said he was a good guy. He was a captain. He wears the 9/11 cleats. He's like, my hero.
Pete, you told my son how to say the F-bomb.
So great. There's just something funny about it.
It's hilarious.
There's something funny about that, and then there's something funny.
And he pummeled it.
And, yeah. And he pummeled it.
Did you have a problem, though, with what Dan Schulman and Buck Martinez did, though? Because the K Show, they really got into it. They got into it about how, I guess they didn't have a problem with them, but I guess the executive producer, didn't like it. And there was all this stuff, a lot of controversy going on with that whole thing. I felt like it was much ado about nothing. They point it out? Yeah, they pointed it out.
We call it selective outrage.
You think so?
Like, it's not that big of a deal. This is an observation. If they're sitting there, Casey's something like, man, dude, keep playing with his glove.
Yeah, what's he doing?
What is he doing? Yeah. Like, it's weird. That's not natural.
Yeah, I just think it's something you see. Yeah, what is he doing?
Right. That's just like me, like, watching the game and, like, dude wiggling his fingers. Like, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah, it's a curiosity. Well, as a viewer.
Or dude humping, yeah.
But as a viewer. Wouldn't you have seen him? Wouldn't you, as you're watching the replay back, Yeah, you like, just go like, whoa, why did he look to the right? What's he looking at?
What,
and then so they made the observation, and then we go from there. And then it turns into something hilarious, which is, you know, shut up, fat boy.
And he pummeled it.
Which, right. And then it leads
to, and he pummeled it.
And he pummeled it. That's one of the great calls ever. But still, I don't have, I don't know. Like, I don't get that caught up in that kind of stuff. I mean, I've been broadcasting for a long time now. I just don't care.
Yeah.
Do you?
I don't.
Like, an opposing announcer says something, like, all right.
It's like you noticing that somebody's on basketball before the play, they're holding somebody's shorts. Like, hey.
Oh, how many times do we see stuff like that?
Hey, he's holding his shorts.
Yeah.
Like, he got him hooked. Like, hey, what is he doing?
Right.
Or Chris Paul punching somebody in the nunu, right, when he leaned over. Like, hey, did he just punch him in his
right
ball sack?
He did.
And he's down.
And he pummeled it.
And he's done. Yeah, I want to see somebody narrate one of those. Yeah, about this time, that's when the pain goes to the navel, and it feels like you got to throw up.
You want to telestrate? Yeah. You want to telestrate the moment that
the vibrations go from the groin to the navel.
Like, he kicks him right in the groin. It's like, all right, right about like you do the John Madden thing. All right, so right about here, you get the kick. It's on the left one. You could tell it probably hit the left one.
Yeah, okay, yeah. By his right pinky being pinned. That's how you know he called the left testicle, the right testicle. It goes to the fingers.
It's actually, if it hits the right testicle, it's the left side of you that goes paralyzed. You can see it right there. His hand just goes limp.
And this is about the time. Let's see. What are we? 10 seconds in? Yeah. The pain is going to the navel.
It starts to resonate. Yeah,
and then you feel like you.
I got hit
so hard one time. They had to pump my legs because I think one of them went in my stomach.
What?
You know, you got to push it.
What?
You never had one go into your stomach?
No.
Yeah, man. It went into my stomach.
How do you push it out?
Like, it'll go behind your
stuff.
No, your pelvis area where your hairs is. It can go up there.
What?
And you feel it. You push it and drop back down.
Oh. What?
They had to pump our – so, like, we were doing blitz drill, right? And I was gangster on the blitz drill.
All right.
So, like, it's one-on-one. So, basically, like, you sitting there, you just running. The running back sitting there waiting for you, and he got to try – he's scared that you're going to run him over, so he's anchoring. So, I like, I'm about to run him over, and I hit it with the R2, L2 dead leg, fake inside, swim over. So, like, now he knows that, oh, I missed, so he puts his arm out.
No.
It's like he had a putter. It was like the ping. It was like the what's the sound the pings make? Ping.
Yeah,
that's what, man. Down goes Frazier. Down goes, man. I was down for about 20 minutes. They had to come and pump my.
They were pump.
They tell them grab your ankles and they kind of push to try and make some force.
There's got
to
be video of this.
They had to drop.
There has.
And
to
I
be
never.
Video
I've never even before I got to the league. You're I've never worn a cup.
There's no video of this. I need video of this.
It's a VHS, if anything.
Grainy video of them pumping Bart Scott's leg.
It just be like, ah!
Testicle to drop.
Oh, God. My poor children. Oh, that's probably why my son hair messed up. The factory wasn't making all the way 100 fish swimmers.
I can't, for the life of me, even picture.
Yo.
Them, like, as if it's a bike pump, and it's like,
it's like they push and they put and they bend. Listen, anybody that this has ever happened to, I need y'all to call in and explain what was going on.
So
and,
you had
how
it
happened.
Pushed up so much,
he hit it.
It went back down.
It went behind my public hairs.
Didn't it hurt when it went back?
No.
So yours dropped twice in your life.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Got King Kong marbles. It might still be some scar tissue down
ain't
there.
Nothing.
It's still inflamed 20 years later. The right one a little swoller than the left one. Man.
That's a hell of a story.
It was like a ping, man. He caught me.
A hell of a story.
I ain't never felt like – it's like in your navel. You ever get hit like when you go to the doctor's office, they hit your knee with the tuning fork? That's what my navel felt like. And it's delayed.
You didn't throw up?
I felt like it. I'm not a big Earl guy. I don't really call Earl.
No.
But it changed my life, man. Mm. Yo, Jamarsh. His name was Jamarsh.
Yeah. That had like
Jamarsh.
But you just like once it popped back, did you just get up and you were fine?
Hell no. Like, I was done. I had to ice my balls down. You would just recover from that.
You were out for a while. I don't know. I don't know how this works.
My balls went where no balls has ever gone before.
and should never go again.
Should never go up on your pubic hairs.
No, it should not.
Yo,
are you curious, though? Just like,
no.
Just leave it there.
I felt like it needed to be put in a harness.
I can't believe somebody knew.
I had to go put on some, like, because back in the day, I used to wear boxer shorts.
Yeah. Oh, that was dumb.
But now, no, not at practice, but just, you know, whatever. Boxer shorts.
And that was not smart.
Yeah, because they start rolling up, and if they get a little moisture, they cotton. So, like, now we got all this good, like, Pema in it and spandex. Man,
I put on
the Supermans after that. I need them supported.
Yeah.
I need to feel some comfort. I need to feel some pressure against some things.
Tighties?
Yeah, I put on the Supermans. Dun-dun-duns.
Don't ever play basketball in boxer shorts.
Oh, hell no. Nah. Really. First of all, it comes out of unless you got the one with the button. If you got the one with the hole in the front, the slit, just.
No, I just had basic hands.
You get one hanging out, one in.
Just not a good idea.
Yeah, not at all.
Went up for a layup and.
It all came out?
Oh, just, yeah. Not great.
Get some new fans?
I'm just not going to tell that story.
Mama! Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, I don't know if I can procreate no more. That's why I was on the ground. I was, Bart, you okay?
Pick up those hips. They were literally pumping your leg.
Yeah.
And that, like, the thing that, this that's whole story, we're not going to linger on this, I promise.
That's the perfect song.
But the thing that had really hit me was the image of a trainer that had the knowledge that, what happened to you? I think it went up here. All right, hang on a second. Let's pump it out.
Yeah.
Give me your leg. What?
You want me to
like,
show
what
you,
class
you want me,
is that?
You want me to show you what I was like?
This no, I really don't. And he's showing me. Thank God we're not on TV.
It's like the Heimlich for your balls. That's how you get them out.
Is that Heimlich?
Why am I still sitting in the little chair?
I don't know why you. That's why you're acting like a little kid today, because you're sitting in the little chair. Go on the Bart on Twitter feed to see the picture of Bart sitting in the little chair in the studio with Monica looking at him like, child, please. All right. So we have your calls ready to go. 800-919-3776. So right now it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio File. The Audio File.
And then Audio Files is, it's not brought to you by anybody today. Oh, man. I have the.
We lost our sponsorship?
No, but I got to do a pinstripe report.
I was about to say, maybe we can get Manscaped with the ball, with the mold, with the lawnmower 3000.
Vacuum 3000.
The pump. Clear.
It's so wrong. Something wrong with this man. All right, where do we begin? How about with Jimmy Butler?
Yes.
Jimmy Butler said he doesn't care what you think. So, what did I say? I said I could see the Heat winning tonight. Yesterday, I said that, right? Now, why do I think that? Because after last night's win in Game 1 in Boston, the Heat have won 6 straight Game 1s.
Yeah.
This is what they do. Like, you got to know this, Boston. They're going to walk into your building, and they're going to take a win. You have to be up to the challenge. The Celtics weren't. And for Jimmy Butler, like, this is just their mentality.
We're just playing really good basketball. More than anything, we're staying together through the good and through the bad. It is a game of runs, and we can talk to one another. I think that's what, you know, ultimately makes me smile is the fact that when things aren't going our ways, we can look at each other eye to eye and know when somebody's messing around, and we can fix it. We did a really good job on the defensive end. We shared the ball on offense, made some shots, got a win, but that's not enough for us, and we want to get another one.
Something key that he said there, Bart, about his group. We can look each other eye to eye and fix it. Did you see the story?
No Eagles.
Did you see the story? The practice before game one. So not yesterday, but the day before. The Celtics are having a practice, getting ready for game one. And the story goes Al Horford had to stop practice and rip into his teammates.
Wow.
Tell him we're not going hard enough here. Like, we're too lackadaisical. We're kind of too loose. We're joking around. Like, this is business.
Yeah,
this team's going to come in, right? They're going to kill you, Lionheart, right? Like, that. Like, he had to give that address. The fact that a veteran has to do that before this, and then that third quarter happens, that's the issue with Boston. But
just hope they don't come back to hurt you, because this game could be the determining factor. You gave Miami
it's a big deal.
Home court.
Yep.
But see, this is the thing.
It's like 75%, right?
Boston's been so lackadaisical because last game they won 6-7. And, you know, sometimes you think, oh, this is just like last year.
I'll just flip a switch.
Yep, every year is different.
So there's a new coach, obviously Joe Mazzulla, and he's been under fire. So some people blame him for, you know, not having his team ready to play that third quarter, not making adjustments, not calling timeouts. He's under fire in Boston right now for his poor decisions or lack thereof. And how about this exchange between he and a reporter up in Boston? And listen to the wording that the reporter gives him that sets off Joe Mazzulla.
You said they played harder than you in the third quarter. That's what they do. They play harder than their opponent. How are you guys unprepared for that?
And we were prepared. We played harder than them in the first half, and then they outplayed us for one quarter. So we were prepared for it. We had the right mindset heading into the game. We had the right mindset heading into the game. We played harder than they did, and we were prepared, and we did a great job.
Third quarter made all the difference, right?
It did, but we were prepared, and then we let go of the rope. And so there's two storylines here. It's one, we were ready to play, and we had a great job executing on both ends of the floor in the first half, and it's about the consistency of they're going to continue to play. And so we have to be prepared for when we do outplay them, that they're going to respond and we have to respond. And so we were prepared. We just let go of the rope.
Yeah, why did you let go of the rope?
I don't know. It's a great question.
Then answer it.
You're in the Eastern Conference Finals and you're admitting that your team let go of the rope. What? That's a bigger
mission, yeah.
Oh,
like, how can you not keep your guys focused? The fact that you're throwing down clipboards in the huddle. And maybe they don't look at you like a authoritarian.
Oh yeah. No, clearly.
Because they look at you because Al Horford's like, man, I'm older than you, and like a lot of times it's hard when the former assistant that used to be the cool guy becomes the boss.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when your friend becomes the boss, you're trying to take him seriously.
Right.
And like you used to joke with him.
You're not yelling at me, right?
He's 34 years old.
Exactly.
He's basically a year older than Marcus Smart, probably.
Right. Like dial it down. I know what you're saying.
Bro, stop this tough guy stuff.
Right. So interesting stuff happening in Boston. Meanwhile, tonight you get game 2 of the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. And some of the questions that were asked after game 1 was, wow, you know, the Lakers left that game, Bart, feeling good. And why they feel good? Because they played better in the second half, and they made an adjustment that seemed to work, and that adjustment was Rui Hachimura guarding Nikola Jokic. And so the sense was that, all right, maybe the Lakers found something. Here's the problem. You make an adjustment, you show your hand, you don't win the game. And now, of course, are you going to bring that same adjustment into game 2 and think that Michael Malone and company aren't going to have a counter to it? Here's the Nuggets head coach.
Much is being made of them putting Rui Hachimura on Nikola Jokic. Like, we've never seen that before. There's this kind of discussion being based that, like, even though the Lakers lost, you know, they're walking out of here last night, like, they think they've got something. I'll bet you Every red penny I have, that Darvin Ham would rather be up 1-0 than down 0-1.
I mean, that's obvious, right? So the funny thing is about game one was that the Denver Nuggets won, and they walked away from it not happy with the way they played. The Lakers lost, and they sounded like they were really optimistic about the way they played. Two different, obviously, points of view. But Michael Malone's like, man, you can go ahead and take that adjustment because you know we got to counter for it. I'm not worried. So we'll talk more about this game later on in the show, but very interesting game too, certainly tonight. Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, as we continue on Audio Files, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. So Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Sixers, met with the media. And as we know, Doc Rivers was relieved of his duties, no longer the head coach of the Sixers. Listen to what Daryl Morey says about Embiid's reaction to their decision to get rid of Doc.
They had a strong relationship. I mean, I have to make tough calls all the time with trades. Joel was disappointed in, you know, some of it was he didn't know the player we were getting in the trade who ended up helping us, but he was disappointed in the players that went out. I think it's natural to be very close with the people in the locker room. He was very close with Coach Rivers. Yeah, he was shocked about the change, and it's my job to help convince him that the new coach is someone that he'll have a great relationship with as well.
Bar, what does that tell you?
Tells me that if it's Mike D'Antoni, it's telling you that it's James Harden's relationship with Daryl Morey that's more important and the strongest connection and tie that you have with that organization. And if I'm Joel Embiid, I'll be highly upset because I'm the MVP. I'm the best player on his team.
Franchise.
How the hell are we going to what he wants? I ain't about to be trying to go up here and run up and down the court shooting every 7 seconds. You done lost your damn mind. I'm 7'3". I know I'm in shape, but I ain't going to be in that type of shape. I'm not ready for no track meet.
It's amazing. It really is.
It's going to tell us everything.
I just don't understand. Right. I feel like that was revealing a lot. And even if you're trying to cover for Embiid, it's awkward that you didn't involve your franchise player in these decisions, that you were going to tell him. Like, it's just the whole thing. Very bizarre. All right, let's do a Pinstripe Report. It's brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Gerrit Cole, again, it was I'm not going to say a masterful performance, but still, that game for the Yankees was a good start from Gerrit Cole. And, you know, Chris Bassett and he just went mano a mano. They went head to head, and that's fine. But for Cole, they, as you could tell, they lost in extras. They needed him probably to go the distance. He couldn't.
No, absolutely not. Not a fatigue issue. Just I got to be better there. Like, I mean, the fastballs are executed well. It's fastball off the corner away. Tespinal not hit very hard, breaks his bat. But, you know, the issue is we beat him on the pitch twice. Situation calls for a slider right there. George, we'd stay fastball all day, try to get inside of him. Obviously kept him with a low trajectory, which is great because, you know, George can hurt you in the seats anytime. But the problem is, you know, he's able to get enough barrel to manipulate the ball through the four hole. And thankfully, Clay is really, really good at his job. And bailed me out there because, you know, we needed that. We needed to keep this, you know, the score locked up. And he was just fantastic, really.
There's Gerrit Cole on that. And how about Aaron Boone's thoughts on Cole's performance?
Yeah, I thought Gerrit was good. I thought he was in, you know, even for being high pitch count there after six, I thought he was in pretty good shape. I thought he was executing. You know, we didn't make a couple plays that, you know, added some pitches to his overall night, but overall I thought he threw the ball well.
104 pitches for Gerrit Cole in this game. The Yankees end up losing it again on a walk-off situation there. They'll have another game, one more in Toronto tonight at 7 o'clock. And that, of course, is your Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management for a pain-free life. Visit samwellpain.com today. All right, that is Audio Files. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Ray.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
A song that was already a hit, like a major hit. You sample it in another song that turned into a major hit.
A classic, yeah.
I can't think of another one.
I could think of one.
Well,
you know, Luther redid a lot of people's stuff.
Let's have our listeners help us out, right?
And Stevie probably got
at
one.
At Barton Hahn. This will be Jacob can come. He can come dig these out of the crates.
I got one. Bobby Bland, in Heart of the City, Ain't No Heart of Time. And I think Stevie Wonder redid it. Ain't no love in the heart of the city.
I'm talking about not a cover. That's a cover. Sample.
Well, Jay-Z did it.
Sample
Ain't
of
no
a
love
hit.
In the heart of the city.
Oh, you're saying that. Yeah, but this I'm talking about mainstream.
Yeah, you're right.
This is a mainstream
rap,
hit.
Rap is
mega
mainstream.
Hit.
Rap is mainstream now.
You know what I
Bluegrass
mean.
Bluegrass is no stream. Ring, ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, you know, I was just stuck. I had an answer. So I had
one good one, right, is Come With Me, which is what was it? What was he at the time? P. Diddy, what was he at the time?
Well, Juicy.
Because that's pretty good.
Juicy.
Yeah, that's pretty
Juicy
good.
With Biggie.
Yeah, that's pretty good, too. That's a great sample, man.
Yeah, yeah. You give me enough time to think.
Come With Me is good. It's yeah, Led Zeppelin. Is it Kashmir? Was it Kashmir? Which one was it that they – And then,
yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, they sampled that and turned it into a new one. That was a hit. But that's the, to me, those are the best because it's nostalgic, yet it's new.
And then you'd be hearing somebody sing it, you know, and the beat come on, and you got two people from two different generations, and they start with a different song.
Oh, wait a minute. I keep forgetting Michael McDonald, which is Regulate. Isn't that Regulate?
Regulator, yeah. Mount up.
That's pretty damn good, too. Because when it comes on, you don't know which song it is. Am I listening to Rock the Bells or am I listening to Yacht Rock Radio? I don't know which one.
Right. You got two people, like your mom starts singing and then you in the back. And I see my homie Warren G, Nate Dogg in the cut.
Right.
16 in the clip and one in the hole.
Got the wrong
Nate
song.
Dogg's going to make some really good. Like, what are you doing messing up my song?
How about, Biff Johnson had this one. Super Freak.
Hold on, Biff.
His name is Biff Johnson, yeah. Oh, he calls himself that on Twitter.
Make like a tree and get out of here.
So, Super Freak, Rick James, right?
Super Freak.
Can't touch this. MC Hammer.
Oh. Yeah, nobody can touch. Them 3 years, nobody can touch Hammer.
I don't want to touch Hammer.
Too legit.
That song was not good. Too Legit to Crib was not a good song.
But you had all the politicians saying,
yeah.
Hey. That's how you know something's crunchy. Soon as they say raise the roof, like, all right, it's over with. Throw
Everybody's
it away.
Raising roofs.
Like, throw it away.
Stop raising it. Burn the roof down.
Yeah. Burn the roof.
Burn it. DeBoer in New Jersey. DeBoer.
Hey, good afternoon,
happening?
Fellas.
What up?
Hello?
Yeah, we got you. What's up, man? Let's go.
We got you loud and clear, baby. What up?
Hello.
We here.
He's got us on mute.
You can hear me?
Yeah, man, take us off mute. We've been listening to you.
Sorry about that. I wanted to add Free the Pain, I Get High for Your Love, with the remix of Styles P, I Get High.
There you go.
All right. There you go.
I like that. You know what I'm saying? This way, who's better? Who's better than our listeners?
That's
man.
What makes it fun. That's
why
we
swagged out over here. Listen, we know we'll get to the damn sports. We don't got nobody playing right now. We waiting for the Liberty to spark it up.
So we have Count Scotula, like that, on Twitter. How about Under Pressure, which is the Queen David Bowie vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
Ice Ice Baby.
What?
Yeah. Ice Ice Baby
under
was
Under Pressure.
Yep.
Ding, 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 ding.
Stop. Drop everything and listen.
So that's back two songs that were huge something. Hits. One Gotta was sampled.
Yeah, but he denies the sample there. They were sued. There was court battles.
That's right. Yes. He's acting like he made that up himself. Which is, man, come on. We know what's going on there.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's even got the piano part. All of it.
Who's better than us, man?
Mm-hmm. This is so much fun. I like playing this game.
Me too.
Now we're getting lots and lots of
Now listen, everybody. Tweets on it. This is universal. Whenever you ever guys want to call up and say, can it be us? I think we're going to hold on to it. So whenever you just want to come up here,
that should have been us.
It should have been us.
Should have been us.
Yeah.
Should have been us is perpetual.
Yeah.
It's evergreen. Like, know, if you're just somewhere and something happened to you and you know should have been us, tell us the story. Share it with us.
Because I know it's somebody here that probably used to date Rosie Perez back in high school.
Wow.
And she got on his nerves. And then now he's seeing her. Billy, how much you let me be? Like, damn, she fine. She wasn't that fine when she was in high school, man. But, man, I should have saw that
something
coming.
Something tells me that Rosie was quite fine in high school.
Somebody was sitting there with Alicia Keys. She had that acne and all that stuff and the braids and all that stuff. Walking around with her little piano
like nerdy
keys. Yeah. And now Swiss Beats in there making songs of a minor.
Making what?
Listen, Alicia Keys was so fine, he left his wife. Like, I'm married, but I'm about to marry you. I'm about to get married again.
Change my mind.
Yeah, he's like, you know what?
You're so fine, I changed my mind.
Yeah, put your mom on the phone. Yeah. I ain't never come home no more. You know what I'm saying? This thing, she was over there making honey and rice sandwiches up in wherever she was.
In front of his mama.
Now he going around like Ben Rames and Baby Boy.
You got to be him. I'm him. No, I'm not him. I'm just him.
I'm him. She asked me, was I him? I'm him. I say, I am.
We had a lot going on today, including a conversation that was involving.
Pushed in.
It's been that kind of day. I had my stuff pushed in, bro.
It's been that kind of day. I don't know where we're going next, but I do know the power hour is coming.
Ooh.
So you can only imagine.
You guys got to bring it for the power hour.
It's just that kind. It feels like that kind of day. Have we not? Is there something we haven't gotten to yet? We got the Jets stuff.
We talked about Quinnen.
We did the Yankees.
No new Saquon news.
I mean,
a lot of OTAs.
The Mets are playing right now. I
think we should really talk about the Joel Embiid. Maybe in the power hour we talk about Joel Embiid and how he could be on the outs, depending on who this next head coach is going to tell us. Who's in control of the organization? Is it James Harden dun, 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 and Daryl Morey as a super pack? Or is it Joel Embiid and Maxey all by themselves?
Want a score update from Citi Field?
No, because you never asked me for update on stuff that's good.
I'm just trying to provide for our listeners an update of the scoring that's going on in an active live baseball game happening in our listener area.
The way you looked at me suggested they're down at least by three.
Nope. Incorrect.
Yeah, that would be more than.
No, incorrect.
You jackass.
No, I'm just a simple update.
Yeah, yeah, give us an update.
Give us an update, Alan. In the bottom of
in
the third.
In the third, so it's just started, and we already down.
Why are you so negative?
Because I can see it in your eyes, because you don't tell me good news about the Mets.
It is just Tampa Bay 1, Mets 1. Feel better?
Okay.
What?
I feel better.
All right. I was hoping you'd feel better. The RBI? Brett Beatty. So more of the youth
movement. Sometimes you need some of that.
That's what you like.
Guys that don't know that they don't know.
Yeah. And that's important. Like, you're getting that kind of stuff. Vogelbach, who clearly had to play today at DH instead of course, Vientos getting a second start.
He's hit the home run.
No.
Damn.
I already told you had the RBI. It's one run. Oh. Right? Remember Brett Beatty? You're paying attention? Yeah. Stay with me. Yeah. Vogelbach, so far in his first at bat, struck out.
Yeah,
so you have that going on, which is nice.
I feel like Vogelbach probably should get fat again because
he's better.
Fat Vogelbach is better. It's like skinny CC Sabathia off the Captain Crunch. Not good. I need CC with the red dye 88 and the red 40
and the riboflavin.
Yeah, riboflavin. Much better, CC.
I hear you.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.